Number of weeks ago, our daughter Carissa, her husband Mike, contacted and said, "We are wondering if you would like to go this summer with us for a week to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. A friend of ours from Chick-fil-A has a house that we can rent for just cleaning costs, and wondering if you would like to go along." And then there was a pause. And then Carissa said, "Now, just to be upfront, we're hoping that you'll want to watch the boys for a couple times so that Mike and I can go out to dinner and do some things. So Brody's going to be four next week, and Landon's a year old." And I so appreciated her being upfront. I've heard these horror stories about grandparents going on vacations and ending up exhausted by the end of the week because they're taking care of all the grandkids. So I appreciated her being up front. So we were at dinner at their house, and we were talking about what's down there, and duck donuts, and Kitty Hawk, and you know the stuff that's down there. And then so we started talking about what should we take on this vacation? And serving the obligatory role of silly grandfather, I started asking questions like, "Well, should we take," and then we fill in the blank. And because, you know, Sheila and Carissa and everybody being serious about what we should take, should we take, you know, this and that. So I started being silly. I said, "Well, should we take shovels for the sand?" Brody was sitting, Carissa was here, Brody was here, almost 4 years old. This little guy sitting on an adult chair, looking so small, and his dad was on the end. And Brody looked to his dad with an image that has burned in my brain and touches my heart every time. He looked up at his dad with these big brown eyes and long eyelashes with this look that said, "You are my hero. You are the one that I look up to. You are the one that I trust the most. You are the one that I just adore." And I saw that look as he looked up to his dad. And so we went through. And so I said, "So should we bring buckets for the beach?" And he looked up at his dad. And his dad got this real excited look on his face and looking at Brody and going, "Yeah." So Brody turned back to me and said, "Yeah, let's bring buckets." I said, "Should we bring potato chips?" Brody looks up at his dad, and his dad goes, yeah, let's. And Brody looks back at me. He goes, "Yeah, let's bring potato chips." I said, "Should we bring," what was one of the next things I talked about? "Oh, should we bring our swimming suits?" Brody looked up at his dad. His dad said, "Yeah." Brody looked back at me. "Yeah, bring swimming suits." I said, "Should we bring black olives?" Brody looked at his dad, and his dad got this look on his face. Brody turned back to me and went, "Oh, no." Said, should we bring our sunglasses? Brody looked up at his dad. His dad said, "Yeah, let's bring sunglasses." Brody looked back at me, "Yeah, sunglasses." I said, "Should we bring popcorn?" Brody looked up at his dad. And to that point, I had always liked Mike. And Mike looked out of the corner of his eye at me because he knew he was pulling my chain. And he looked at Brody and goes, "No, no, no." Brody looked at me and I said, "No, no, no, no popcorn." And I thought, and so I just that interaction of watching him look at his dad with this incredible trust and love. And I thought, you know, Brody usually knows what he wants. And yet in that context, he kept looking at his dad. And I thought, what an incredible picture of what we are supposed to be with our heavenly dad. Because I realized that it was a different kind of scenario. We were talking about going someplace that Brody was visited when he was year and a half old, but doesn't remember, so he doesn't know the context, and so even the things that he likes, he wasn't quite sure about, so he turned to his dad to see, is this something that I should want to do? Is this something that I should want to take? And so he didn't know enough, and he kept checking in with him, because the past, and so here's part of the spiritual application, the past experiences that we have are a good reference point, but they don't guarantee what God wants for the future. And we have to be continually looking to our Heavenly Father, checking in with him. So we've been talking about living the slow lifestyle with God. So if you want to look at your notes, the slow lifestyle with God, which represents surrender, listen, and obey. So this lifestyle with God of we go to him in surrender, and then we listen to what he has to say, and then we obey. And that's the picture of Brody, looking to his dad in surrender, looking to him, dad, giving him full reign in his life, and then listening to what his dad had to say, and then responding to it. Why should we live that way? What's the, you know, the benefit of it? Well, as we talked about earlier, it brings joy to God. It really does bring joy to God. We don't often think of that in terms of our relationship with God, but we either disappoint God or bring delight to him, because we are created in his image, thus he has the capacity for joy or sadness. And so we bring joy to him. We also experience the abundant life that we've talked about in the past. That is this, the life that's worth living, the life that brings satisfaction and contentment and joy and what we were created to experience. But it also brings help to others. So by surrendering and listening and obeying God, we experience what God wants us to experience. And so we've been talking about that last week. We began to look at this listen piece, because surrender, we've talked a lot about. It's about giving full reign to God, giving full authority. So we give ourselves to him and trust to him. And obedience is pretty much straightforward. If God tells you to do something, you do it. But this listening part is a skill that we need to develop and practice. So last week, we started talking about this listening part. And we said, we used the scripture from 1 Samuel 3:9, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And we saw that that God is constantly speaking, that we have to learn to recognize his voice, that that his voice has an otherness about it that is different from our own thoughts, or different from our own ideas, that it's not something that we would generally think about. But then it resonates deep within us that this is beyond us. And then thirdly, we must learn to be in constant conversation with God. Constant conversation with God. That prayer is not something that we just do on Sunday, or we do as we begin our day, or we do as we prepare to eat our meal, but it's this constant conversation with God. And that constant, so today, this constant conversation with God involves constantly checking in. Constantly checking in. And so when things come up, it's like Brody turning to his dad, looking for his yes, thumbs up or thumbs down, and then responding appropriately to it. Our memory verse for February, say it with me. Ephesians 6:18. "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Ephesians 6:18. And next week, we're going to dig deeply into that verse specifically. But for this week, it says praying at what? All times. Constant conversation, constant interaction with him, and specifically checking in with God about whatever's happening in our lives. Looking to him. God is, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to do this? What's going on here? What's next? Checking in. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Change of direction. And then Galatians 5:25 and 26 says, "If we live by the Spirit," and it's the Spirit of God, Jesus' Spirit, Holy Spirit that comes to live in us when we accept him as Savior, "let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Keep in step with the Spirit. And so the picture is of marching alongside someone else. How do you keep in step? By constantly checking in. constantly checking in, constantly watching, constantly keeping the rhythm, constantly keeping the direction by watching someone else. And then it's this community kind of experience. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's together we do this, not thinking we're better than anyone else. So today, what does that look like? Checking in with God, constant conversation with God, second level listening as moment by moment conversation with God. So the point of this message is constant conversation involves constantly checking in. Constant conversation means staying in tune with God. It means having our antenna up, as we talked about last week. It means being tuned into Him, constantly checking in, listening moment by moment, especially, look at me, especially when you think what you're doing seems to be a no-brainer. That it's not something you need to think about. That it's something that you've done before, you've experienced before, but it's checking in to make sure. Because God may have other ideas. Walking in tune with the Spirit means God is the one that knows, and we need to be listening to Him. On a Saturday night in January, I had the TV on, and on many Saturday nights I try to find something inspiring before I go to bed, and I enjoy comedy, and so I found a comedy video by Michael Jr., Christian comedian. He's no stranger to us. We've looked at his clips, and during some snowstorm a few years ago, we showed an entire video. But I found this. I found a video by him that he spoke at Life Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in July. And it's called The Right Response. The information about it is at the bottom on the second page of your notes. As I watched it, it was one of those moments when you sense the Holy Spirit saying, this is important. Because we were talking about surrender, listen, and obey. And as I listened to what he had to say, he identified this whole idea of what it means to be walking in step with the Spirit. Walking in tune with the Spirit, this constant conversation that is constant check-in. The focus was evidently a financial campaign that they were having, but the theme underneath it was he calls it listening to God in the gaps, listening to God in the in-between moments when you're moving from one thing to the next. And so throughout this message, I want to show several different video clips that I think illustrate it. Because I think sometimes it's good to hear somebody else saying the same thing. There are times when I feel like I'm up here and I begin to sound like Charlie Brown's mom. You know the adults in Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. And so sometimes it's good to hear another voice. So we're going to look at some of his experiences and his perspective on it. Well, so what does it mean to do this second level listening, this constant checking in and conversation with God? Number one, it means that we listen and obey when God doesn't make sense. We listen and obey when God doesn't make sense. Have you ever had a teacher or a boss tell you to do something that didn't seem to make sense? And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And you have two choices at that point. You can either do what you think they're saying, or you can go check in with them to see, to clarify, to see if it's really what they want. If you assume, and it doesn't make sense, oftentimes you get it wrong. But if you go to them and you ask them what they're talking about, oftentimes they'll explain it so that it at least makes a little bit of sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then at least you have the assurance that what you're about to do is what they're expecting you to do. As we listen for God's voice, sometimes what he says doesn't seem to make sense. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Sometimes he tells us to do things that you go, I don't think so. What would people think? What would that person, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We human beings have trouble with that because we are born with this human nature that's selfish and proud. And we think we know what we're doing. But he says, as we trust in the Lord, means we look to him and we don't lean on what we think we know. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As you walk in tune with God, there will be times when you'll be able to hear his voice tell you to do something that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it has a part of his plan. And if we dismiss God's voice because in our minds it doesn't make sense, then we miss out and we don't bring joy to God. And usually other people don't receive what God wants for them. So here's the first clip by Michael Jr.
It's the fruit. So you have to articulate the answer to that. So I'm doing a show in Phoenix, Arizona. Right. And it's probably 3,500 people to show. I'm sitting in the back with a friend of mine before the show starts. And me and and we're talking about this photograph that we saw online. And this is probably about 11 years ago. We're talking about this photograph. I'm like, cool, it's time for the show. I go out. There's like, I don't know, there's 3,500 people here. We're having a great time. We're probably 25 minutes into the show. And I'm listening in between the gaps. And I felt like God said to me, hey, show him the picture. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not showing him that picture. That picture was not funny at all. I am here to do jokes. You got to understand. On a scale of 1 to 10, we're probably laughing at a 7.5. That is a pretty strong show. I'm excited, cool, moving on to the next joke. And I feel it again. I feel like God says, show him the picture. So in the middle of my comedy set, I show him this picture. So that is a picture of a vulture and a little girl. And what's going on in this picture is the little girl is actually trying to make it to this food bank that's outside of the photograph. So I'm explaining to my audience in Phoenix, just like I'm explaining to you, what's going on in this picture. The photographer is in the obvious place, and the vulture is in the obvious place as well. So I explained to them that the photographer actually waited 20 minutes because he felt like it would be a better shot if he could get one when the vulture opened up his wings. After he took the picture, he got on a plane, came back to the States, turned in the picture, and won the Pulitzer Prize. It's like one of the greatest prizes you could ever get. 6 months later, he commits suicide. And I said to that audience, just like I'm saying to you, had he been of the mindset, I believe, to save the little girl, he himself would probably be alive right now. So here's the thing. I cannot tell you what I said to that audience after that, but we went literally, I can't tell you what the segue was, but we went from laughing at a 7.5 to a 0 during the picture to probably a 12. Now, I would have never made that call, but because I was listening in between the gaps, I did something that I wouldn't normally do to give in a way that I didn't think I could give. You have gaps too. There's something more for you to give. To the church, to your community, to your spouse. There's something more that you can give. And it may look different than you think. We went deep. I'm doing that.
So here's what happened. God wanted to touch that audience in some way. And it didn't make sense to show the picture. But when Michael Jr. obeyed God's voice, not only did God accomplish whatever he was after in the people in that audience, but he also blessed Michael Jr. with even greater laughter. Touch the heart. You can touch the heart with sadness. You touch the heart with laughter. So we have to obey. We need to listen and obey, even when it doesn't make sense. So if the Spirit of God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense, you do it anyway. You may not even know the results of that. If he tells you to love someone or say something or do something or give something, oftentimes it doesn't make sense. That's why, but it, we miss bringing joy to God, the abundant life that he offers us, and touching other people's lives when we don't. Number two, we need to listen and obey when actions appear obvious. We need to listen and obey when actions appear obvious. So most of our life is lived without super spiritual revelations or voice words from God. We just, you know, we go to work because we're supposed to go to work. We eat because we're supposed to eat. Most of life is just lived in a predictable pattern. And if we're not in constant conversation with God where we're checking in, like Brody checking in with his dad, if we're not checking in, we miss those times when God wants to interrupt because we get used to solving problems a certain way, and then we think we just a problem comes along and we're supposed to solve it that way, and we just assume that we're supposed to do it, but we dare not assume. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, has to be a way of life in walking conversation. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding works pretty well for most things, but when it comes to what God is up to, by constant conversation, constantly checking in, he can interrupt us at any time that he wants, especially when we face things that we faced before. Fill in this blank. God often has a different, better way than what is obvious. God often has a different, better way than what is obvious. But unless we're checking in constant conversation with God, we don't hear that. We don't recognize it. We miss it. Proverbs, twice in Proverbs, in chapter 14, verse 12, and 16, verse 25, the exact same verse, the exact same words appear, which means it's important. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. There are things that seem right and seem proper, and if we're just doing those kinds of things without being in constant conversation with God, listening at a second level, checking in with him, it will cause us to walk off the cliff. And then in once again, in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We need to listen and obey even when what we're supposed to do seems obvious, because it may not be obvious. It's why so many of the religious people miss Jesus, because they assumed it was obvious he wasn't from God because they had all of these assumptions in mind. When we looked at Goliath Must Fall last fall, for Samuel the prophet who walked in tune with God and he came to Jesse's house, he was supposed to anoint a king. It just seemed obvious who you should anoint, the oldest, the tallest, the one that looks good. But he was checking in with the Spirit of God. He was listening, and the Spirit of God said, "Nope." Samuel moved to the next one. Nope, 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 nope. Got to the end of the line. And Samuel knows God's right. Is there any more? Oh, yeah, there's the runt. He's out there in the sheep with the field. We don't even let him in the house most of the time. That's the one. When it seems obvious, we need to listen and obey when it seems obvious. Here's the next clip.
So just answer this in your head. Let's say you're walking down the street and you have two bottles of water and you're not thirsty. And you see a homeless guy who's thirsty. What should you do? I would submit to you that you don't give him the water. But instead, you quickly ask God, "Hey, God, what do you want me to do?" Because for all you know, behind you is a lady with one bottle of water and a stingy heart. And God's been working on her. And this is her opportunity to give the guy the water. In the first scenario, you play God. In the second scenario, you play for God. I'd rather play for God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you get a hold of that, when you read through the Bible, things like tithing and all of the times it says give, it isn't an issue any longer. You just get it because you're just being obedient. And watch what happens on the other side of that. Whoa.
Okay. I love that. Because we assume we have water, we should give it. who would ever thought that there's somebody else that God is working on? Unless we're stopping and walking a constant conversation and checking in with God. Now, probably 95 times out of 100, you should give the water. But if we're not listening to God, here, fill in these blanks. Be God's answer, not in his way. By checking in with God, by being in that constant conversation, by listening to what he has to say, the direction that he wants us to take, be God's answer, not in his way. Play for God, not play God, is what Michael Jr. says. Now, this isn't hard work. It just means paying attention. It just means doing it all the time. Just living in tune. Just living in conversation. Here's the next one.
So I'll try to give one a shift. So this is what this looks like for me. We met this family. I think we have a picture of the family. So yes, beautiful family, right? Look at the little boy between his dad's legs. He is doing too much, right? It's the Richardson family. So let me tell you about the Richardson family. So they have 5 biological kids. And then they adopted 2 teenagers. And at the same time, they were fostering 5 siblings all under the age of 7. That's a lot of kids. Then someone came along and they wanted to adopt 2 of the 5 siblings, which means they would be split up and probably never see each other again. So the Richardsons, who don't make much money at all, they were fine with stepping up, getting additional jobs, and they adopted those kids, which is really, really, really awesome. Then, through some circumstance, someone came along and they stole one of their vehicles. Now, this really big family is down to 1 vehicle, and they sometimes have to make 2 trips to go places. And this is where I found out about it, and I felt like I was supposed to do something. But God didn't tell me to buy them a vehicle. He said, I got something I want you to do. Again, I want to be obedient. I don't just want to sacrifice. So me and my family got together and we prayed and we came up with this idea to do a comedy show fundraiser for the family. But here's the thing. If we just do a regular comedy show fundraiser, that is technically me buying them a vehicle. And I want to be obedient. I don't just want to sacrifice. So we decided to go to, we went to 4 of my events across the country. It took 4 events. And we told people about the Richardsons. And we asked them to buy tickets to a comedy show called the No Show Comedy Show. And people were like, well, when is it? I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to be there. And people bought tickets. I was blown away. They bought tickets to a show that would never happen. In fact, the back of the ticket said, you are buying tickets to a show that won't happen. And this is not a tax deduction. We didn't promise them anything. We wanted people to give because they felt like they should give. And we asked people not to give out of compulsion, not to feel anxious about giving. But do it because you know you're supposed to. So people are buying tickets. Like, I'm blown away. And the family now, they have no idea we're doing this because I didn't know if it was going to work. I didn't want them to get their hopes up. But it's actually working. So I'm praying, and I feel like the vehicle to get for this family is a Nissan NV. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. It's a nice vehicle. It could fit the whole family. So what we did, I go to the dealership, and we have enough money for a Nissan NV, and I'm excited. But then I happen to notice that they also had the Nissan NV, the one that's all plushed out. Well, I'm the type of person, I like to give the same way I want to receive. So I want the Nissan NV. The dealership found out what we were doing, and they bought 40 tickets for all the employees. So we got to get the Nissan NV. So we're working on a deal with this family, and I didn't promise my ticket buyers anything. Only thing I said to them, I said, if the family gives us permission, we'll capture their story and we'll share it with you, if they give us permission. So we go over to the family's house. They still have no idea what we're doing. And I tell them we're there to do a fundraiser video for them. Maybe they could raise a little money, pay off some bills. They have no idea. So we're there with the camera crew, and they're telling me about their family and their kids that they adopted. And it's some really hard stories to hear. Like, it's really hard. So I needed a break. I said, hey, let me take a break for a second. We'll finish taping in a minute. And then I remember walking by the refrigerator or near the kitchen, and they had a picture hanging up. And the picture had been there for like 2 years. This is the picture. That is a Nissan NV. They wrote on top of it, God is awesome. This is our car. Reach for your goals. Obedience is better. than sacrifice. So this is just one of the stories that we've shared right in the middle of my comedy special, More Than Funny. There's actually three stories. This is one of them. But I felt like I should share it with you in case you hadn't seen the film. So now we have this vehicle, and the family doesn't know it. Like, they have no idea we got it. Not only do we have a vehicle for them, we now know we have their dream vehicle. And now all I have to do is figure out a way to deliver it. Well, I do comedy. Delivery is what I do.
So we all go to their house. They're all piled in to watch the video. But what we really want to do is watch them watch the video. Because in the midst of this, I'm going to sneak out, go outside, interrupt the video, and it's going to be me in front of their house introducing them to their brand new Nissan MV. Check it. I know you're in there sitting on the couch wondering if this is actually a real live video. Well, it is. And the reason I'm in front of your house right now is because I would love it if you and your whole crew and everybody else would simply just come outside so you could see your brand new Nissan MV.
Serious?
Part is your payments are only $400 a month. So no, no, it's completely paid for, 100%. No, it's completely paid for. This isn't a Michael Jr. thing. This is about a family
and people y'all never met before. Heard y'all's story. We decided to do a comedy show fundraising, but there actually wasn't a show. So people all over the country, my fans, different places, got together and bought tickets to a show that don't even exist. See y'all can have this.
I don't know how to repay anybody for doing something for me like that.
Now you're in a position where you just need to receive it.
I receive it. I receive it.
If Michael Jr. was not in constant conversation with God, checking in with him, he would have never been grabbed by the needs of this family. If he hadn't been in constant conversation, checking in with God, he would have just paid for the car. But instead, he heard the Spirit of God saying, no, I want many people to have the opportunity to be a part of this. If Michael Jr. was not paying attention, constantly checking with God, he wouldn't have, even though he didn't realize it, wouldn't have been guided to the car that was pictured on the refrigerator that would have built their faith. He didn't even know it at the time, but he was being guided. See, all along the way, it's about checking in. It's not doing what seems obvious. It's about doing what God wants you to do. But you miss it if you're not in tune with God, if you're not in that constant, in lockstep with God, listening for his voice, even when it seems obvious of what you should do. So when God doesn't make sense, do it. Listen and obey. When it seems obvious, check in to make sure that you're listening and obeying. And then number three, listen and obey when you don't know what's next. When you don't know what's next. Write this down alongside that. Even when you think you know what's next. It connects with this obvious thing, but when you think you know what the next step is, check in. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything that you do, everything that you are, put him first. Acknowledge him. Put him on the throne of your life. And then he will guide your paths. When you don't know what is next, it's just checking along the way. Husbands, I don't know how we survived when our wives sent us shopping and there were no cell phones. Because I don't know about you, but I never came home with the right stuff. No matter how much I tried. When we were first married, I don't know the rest of you husbands, but my philosophy before I got married was, because I was a college student, is the evaluation for almost everything at the store was, what's the cheapest? And so we got married, and my wife sent me to the store for things like eggs, milk, cereal, and laundry detergent. Well, I came home, nobody told me you're supposed to check the eggs before you brought them home. I didn't know that, and I didn't know you're not supposed to buy the cheapest, and 1% milk was the cheapest. I didn't know it wasn't really milk. And Lucky Charms is a cereal. It's my favorite cereal. It's not my wife's favorite cereal. And who knew you could buy laundry detergent that really didn't launder anything? It was cheap, right? And so now, the few times she takes a risk and sends me to the store, I take pictures. Is this it? Romans 8:28 says, we know that for those who love God, all things together, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Listen and obey when you don't know what's next, because you can trust the heart of God. You can trust that he's working everything for good. Even when he says something that doesn't make sense, even when he says to do something that doesn't seem, that the opposite seems obvious, check in constant conversation, because God leads us one step at a time. One step at a time. Because he knows we couldn't handle if we knew too many steps ahead. And so he says, trust me. And we find great joy in depending upon him, because he's our Heavenly Father. Psalms 32:10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked who don't pay attention to God. But steadfast love, love that is always strong and steady and there, surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. And so the keys, when we're talking about listen and obey, when you don't know what's next, ask for the next step direction over and over and over. Over and over and over. So next step direction, Lord. And so with Michael Jr., this family, the Richardson family, got in his heart, what's the next step? Well, we need to get him a car. But he every step of the way. How, when, with who, where, all along the way, step by step by step. Listen and obey, step after step after step. So go to God for next step direction. Just like Brody, every time I ask a question, turn to his dad for the answer. Every time, over and over, step by step by step. Here's the next clip.
So one of the things that I really, really appreciate about Life Church is the fact that you guys, like, you get it. Like, you guys are fine with going out in the community and doing things, but there's different levels of giving. But you also have to understand receiving. You have to understand, you have to have a balance. Giving is huge. Some people love to give, but then they have a hard time receiving. You have to have a balance. I was doing this event, and okay, I got two stories. I could do this Orlando story, or I could do this Nashville story. I'm going to let you choose. I only got time for one. Orlando or Nashville. No, it's just, I'm pointing to one person. Calm down, people. Orlando. So I'm in Orlando, and I'm going to do Nashville. Anyway, I'm in Nashville, and remember, I'm listening in between the gaps, right? And I'm on stage, and please understand, you have gaps. There's some more that you can do. This is an awesome church, but you as an individual, there's more that you can do. But all you have to do is listen in between the gaps. That's what happened with the story you just saw. I'm just listening between the gaps. So we're not in Orlando. We're in Nashville, and I'm on stage, and I'm listening between the gaps. So we're like probably, I don't know, 40 minutes into the show. 2,200 people, sold out. And I feel like I'm supposed to talk to this lady in the front row. But the lady's deaf. Lord, what really? What am I supposed to do? And there's a sign language lady on stage, right? So in the middle of this, so I stop, and I'm like, hey, can you ask that lady to come up on stage, please? So she comes up. It's a white lady. She's probably 52, 53 years old. She's really shy. She's scared. She don't know what's going on. The audience don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. We all kind of tripping. So she comes up on stage, and I said to the sign language lady, I said, can you ask her, what is her biggest need? And she signs to the lady. The lady signs back, and she says, she doesn't have any needs. She's good. I was like, can you ask her again, what is her biggest need? So she signs over, she comes back and she says, well, her and her husband haven't been able to go out on vacation in over 13 years. And they really need some time away, at least a weekend or something. I was like, okay. Now normally what you would do, you just collect a bunch of money. Yeah, that's it. Nah, I just ask the next question. And giving money is awesome sometimes, especially if you already took care of what you're supposed to take care of. I just ask the next question. I said, why not? She signs back. She comes over. She says, well, they have a special needs child, and they can't afford the nurse who can take care of the child in such a way that they would feel comfortable leaving, like somebody who's certified. I was like, okay. So I turn to my audience. The audience is still frozen solid right now. I turn to the audience, and I said, where is the special needs nurse who can deliver their punchline? Who can do what they're supposed to do right now? And the whole room is, you don't hear nothing. It's still quiet. So I said it again. I said, where is the special needs nurse who can give the way they should give right now? And you hear a voice come from the top balcony. And this lady says, here I am. And this lady comes walking down. And we introduce them. And they live 30 minutes from each other. And the whole room is done. Like, we're all done. And we got to experience that together because people understood the importance of giving and receiving. It's amazingly important. You got to fully grab a hold of this. You have to fully grab a hold of this. It's so important because there's people right next to you right now who need you to give. And they also need you to receive. So get yourself out the way and just do what it is you're supposed to do. Listen to the Father's voice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I love you.
Now, again, it illustrates so well that it's about this constant moment by moment, second level listening, checking in with God. He's in the middle of a comedy show. He's not in a worship service. He's not trying to, you know, raise awareness for special needs children. He's in a comedy show. But he hears the voice of God. And he notices the woman. And he calls her up. And so when she says, I don't have any needs, I'm good. He doesn't let her off the hook because he's listened to the Father and he knows that God wants him to ask that question. And then when he hears the need, he acknowledges it himself. The natural response is to raise a bunch of money, send them off. But instead, he pauses and he asks God the next question. What is it that you want here? So many times we're like me running off to the grocery store assuming we know what God wants, and we go out and get it, we bring it home, and it's wrong. Which means I have to run out again and get and hopefully get it right. Instead of just simply asking the next question, God, what is it that you want? And God wants to tell us more than we want to hear it. Because when it happens, we bring him joy. We experience abundant life, and other people's needs are met moment by moment by moment. And so he introduced, he blatantly, bold. Now, if I stand on stage to ask an audience like that, where's the special needs nurse? Takes a lot of guts. And then when nobody answers, the devil starts going, see, you're making a fool of yourself. But when he's listening, ask the question again. And here comes this lady. Who knows what that relationship might be in the future? Who knows? It may not even have been about that family going on vacation. That's just the first obvious thing that happened. The ripples of that could be going out for who knows how long. But it requires us listening moment by moment with this checking in. Daddy, Father, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? Is this right? And he says it several times. Be God's answer and don't get in God's way. And the way that we do that is just by surrender, listen, and obey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Surrender. Lean not on your own understanding. Listen. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Obey. And he will make your path straight. Would you bow your heads? What do you need to do to begin to listen moment by moment? To check in like Brody does. Listen between the gaps, as he describes it. What is it that you need to do? It's where the joy is. It's where the pleasure and the satisfaction is. It's where the miracles happen. You know, Michael Jr. is an ordinary person that God has given an extraordinary gift with comedy. But he's God's using him in extraordinary ways simply because he's listening and being obedient. Every single one of us can do that same thing. So what do you need to do with this? How do you need to listen moment by moment? Maybe God is already telling you some things. He keeps telling you. You're like the kid watching television in the living room whose mom keeps saying, turn the TV off and come to supper. But you're not ignoring it because it seems better to watch the TV. You're missing all the good stuff. If he's telling you something, if you're hearing something, just do it. No matter how hard it is, just do it. Let him lead you. But don't just do it on your own. Ask him how. How do you want me to do it? Lord, I pray that you would guide us deeper and deeper into this life of surrender, listening, and obedience. We know your Spirit can do anything in us and through us. So, Lord, I pray that you would wash away all the stuff that's in the way for each one of us today. Just in the flood of your Spirit, your mercy, your grace, just wash it out of us and take all of the smallest crevices of our hearts and souls as your home. Give us soul ears to hear your faintest whisper. And pay attention. And Lord, let the miracles begin. We want to see you do what you want to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray.